Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
The Go Birds podcast is sponsored by Ashley, America's number one furniture and mattress store.
Hello, it is the Go Birds podcast sponsored by Ashley. We think it's the best furniture and mattress store around. We'll tell you more about Ashley later, including the fact that we will be
this Saturday
doing our show 1 to 3 from Ashley in Burlington.
Day
so that's gonna be
game.
Awesome. Let's go. Reaction's gonna be beautiful. No one will play in that game, but you know what? No one played in the last one. It was fun.
Although, so. Do you think Andy Dalton or Tanner McKee plays?
Great
because
question.
Cole Payton will play, obviously, yeah. But now are you going to play him the whole game?
Like, I think Andy Dalton maybe plays. No, I don't think Cole Payton plays the whole game.
I think whoever doesn't play.
I mean, Tanner McKee's the backup, right? I mean, let's be honest. Tanner McKee looked so much better. DeCamera had a good theory on the morning show that he thinks they got Dalton in to try and flip him, like the Joe Flacco type of thing.
Let me tell you.
Obviously, I think it was a mistake and was never going to happen. But it's possible that was a thought. So Either way, I think Tanner McKee is the backup.
I feel very strong. I hate to get straight into football.
Too much. Right? Yeah, we're supposed to hang out, talk
away,
a bit.
Exactly. But I will say
this. I'm going to see a 10th anniversary screening of La La Land today. I can't wait. Let's go.
I will say, if they do all this strictly for the idea of flipping Dalton, it will have been one of the dumbest things they've ever done.
Well, he wasn't good enough to flip is the point.
It's just crazy to me to think that you traded a 7th for him, so it's not
like a 5th or something.
Yeah, it's like all this, like, you know, wreck Tanner's confidence for all offseason, create this huge storyline, get asked about it a ton, and it's like, well, we ended up moving up 2 rounds. It's like, congrats. So I get that theory. I do think maybe they have decided that's where they want to be, but man, it would be... I don't want to hear any victory lapping from the Eagles or anybody if they trade McKee for like a conditional 6 and everyone's like, oh, it basically got a round of
trade McKee. McKee needs to be
the backup. I keep saying McKee. Trade Dalton for like a conditional 6, I don't want to hear like, oh, how he does it again. Look at this. He moved up around. Like, why? All you did was wreck the Tanner's confidence.
I don't know that he wrecked Tanner. I mean, like, they might have looked at it. Again, we're not in the building with these guys. We don't know these guys. Like, they might have thought Tanner needed a push.
Maybe.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that this is something that would motivate Tanner. So we don't know that the results of it were that.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, and it's not just my read, but like everyone that covers the team feels like Tanner's not handling it well.
Well,
just
I mean,
covers
then,
the team to be
then
clear.
It could
not
be,
with
they could have been a bad mistake, but also like it makes me feel a little less good about Tanner.
Agreed.
You know?
Well, the other thing it does is if Tanner, let's say they never acquire Dalton and Tanner's the backup all offseason, all the reps, all those things. I think if Jalen, God forbid, would have gone down for like 3 games in the middle of the season, I think people would have had confidence and excitement about Tanner playing, right? I think that is kind of gone at this point. Now, it can change quickly. He can have a good first quarter and like, boom, they're right back on track. But I think by doing the Dalton thing, you've essentially publicly like told everybody you don't believe in this guy as much. And so I think that's a difference now if he were to go in there.
I don't know that that's the case. I think that teams understand that teams do things for specific reasons that they thought maybe they could get back. Like, I don't think a team looks at it and it's like, oh, they obviously don't trust Tanner. They went for Dalton. Like, I don't think
I don't know. I mean, when's the last time, can you think of, I'm sure there's an example, it's not off the top of my head, but like where somebody had a job with the Eagles and then it was like, he was forced to compete for it the next year. Like, it just doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't, but he's the backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback's a big job.
It is, but it's not a starting quarterback.
It's not, but
you know?
It's like,
and they might have felt like Tanner was too comfortable. I mean, who knows? My point is we're not there. We're not in the room. I think clearly it hasn't worked out. Whatever they were trying to do has not gone well. But I don't think that we can just assume that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played well up until Saturday night.
Sure, and again, like,
and even Saturday night, I thought his numbers, he played better than Dalton, and I thought he was decent. I thought his numbers were better than his play.
Yeah, I thought he was fine.
He was, yeah, like he checked it down a bunch. Like, I didn't think there was any like special moments from him or anything like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, I know. I just feel like in the past, we've watched Tanner and been like, this guy could start, you know? And who knows? Maybe we were wrong. But I don't think anyone has that feeling anymore. Well, maybe.
I think the league got a book on him. He's probably not, you know.
It was one game against Washington. It wasn't like.
Look, I think that we probably overrated him in the moment.
Yeah,
he's probably better
sure.
than he was in that one game. But my point is more that I get what you're saying and it hasn't worked out, but I don't think that like them trying to do something here with the backup quarterback spot and maybe create more value is the worst thing ever. Like,
yeah.
Especially if Dalton comes in and plays well and McKee plays well, then you've got two assets.
Well, for sure. I mean,
so my point is like, I don't hate the risk. Like, I know you hate it. Like, I don't hate it. Didn't work out. I think Andy Dalton was the wrong guy to try with.
I thought Andy Dalton sucked
from the beginning.
Yeah.
But if they're trying to do something like that and it didn't work, I'm not going to hate on it. You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
All right, so right into football.
I know. Well, I was going to say before we got into
it. Yeah, what do you got?
Feels like fall outside a little
bit. It does
Not fully, but like...
A touch of the
chill.
It
is on its way.
It's getting darker earlier.
Which I'm okay with. I'm all right with it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
I love it.
You're nocturnal.
There's nothing I want. I want it to be dark at all times.
Yeah, so I'm good with that because I feel like when it's late, too late, and you're just in the house, it feels like you're missing out on doing
fun things. If I have to go to bed early, it's really a killer.
That's the other part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it felt a little bit like fall today. They're going to be at the Link tonight, so that's exciting.
You're going to be at the Link tonight.
I'm going to be at the Link tonight.
Yes.
Getting your game action on. Yeah. It's always fun
you
to
and Jack,
do the last
really
thing.
You're Jack, I
know. Yeah, talk Eagles for talk about Jalen's practice.
Oh, God.
But yeah, no, I'm pumped, and it is crazy. Like, it's day 16 of training camp already.
The final
preseason game is on Friday. Maybe it's always the case. I wonder if you go back and look and listen at every August pod. I always say this, but it really feels like this month flew by. Like, I can't believe today's the 25th already. Like,
I forget
the football calendar.
No, it feels like
it was just the end
August
of July,
disappeared.
Like yesterday. Yeah.
I agree.
It's already September. And then the Eagles really jump right into it. And me too, us too. And, you know, like week one, but then week two at Tennessee.
We're going to Tennessee.
Like, that's going to be here before we know
coming out with us, fans
like
of Philly.
3 weeks away.
I'm sure most people have already gotten it. But, like, if you've been debating it, we have the best times at these trips. We're also
and it's Tennessee, which is gonna
undefeated
be dope.
In AFC cities. No big deal to us.
I like that we're
2-0.
Closing it now.
2-0.
Too. Yes,
well,
exactly.
We're 2-1 overall, so it's not that bad.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
but
agreed.
I like the AFC thing. I'm leaning into
it. The Cowboys one didn't go so
Yeah, well, you know, mistakes were made.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. I was texting with Joe from Fans of Philly yesterday.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun until coming out with it. It's going to be awesome.
Also,
but yeah, it's like right in. We just dive right in. Let's go.
So Joe told me, I'm not going to say it publicly, but Joe told me what he has planned for the London trip. And let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the coolest. Like, I really like when people think of like creative things on their own. I find it very impressive. It's one of the coolest things I think he could have thought of.
What a
bold thing to do. So I'm very pumped
for
that. You will be seeing videos of it when it happens. But if you're going on the trip or if you're thinking about going, I think it's like an all-time thing.
Wow.
So I'm very, very pumped.
What a tease.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's good at that. He's good at doing like
He's
fun different things
at
on the
whole thing. It's almost, so coming out, that's going to be awesome.
But so what I was going to say is they're like week one, divisional rival. And I think Washington is like a wounded warrior going into this. Like, I think they're going to win that game. But week two, like our road trip. Week three, Chicago Monday night. Week four, they're back home
Rams.
For the Rams, which is a tough
game. And then they're going to London.
And then they're going to London. Yeah. So
and then the Jags were good last year, too. So.
Yeah, so it feels like these 5 weeks are also just going to like fly by. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this is why training camp is the best time of the year because it feels like it's, you know, it's the beginning, it's exciting and everything, and then the whole thing just flies by.
I know. I can hear the wistfulness in your voice.
Yeah. Well, Jalen's only at 14 touchdowns, so.
Don't care.
I know.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but he's...
All right, let's talk Jalen, because there was a...
Hey, let me... Go ahead.
Yeah, pull this up, because I haven't read this article. It just came out. I was doing my show. You had time to read it, but fill me and the audience in on the knucklehead at The Athletic who's taking shots at our guy.
Yeah. All right, so hold on. Of course, now it's...
You know what? Let me rephrase, because I'm trying to...
I have it right here.
No, hold on. I want to use this word more. I told Emily I'm going to use it more, and it was a perfect opportunity. I didn't do it. Let's hear what this chucklehead had to say.
It's a good word.
Chucklehead is so good. I'm going to start using it more. Guys, clearly a chucklehead. Let's go.
All right. So the first part of
Who's
this.
Who's the chucklehead, by the way?
Ted, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's not Nugent.
I knew it was it. I knew it was that chucklehead.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm just kidding.
To...
I don't know who he is, but he's total
he's
chucklehead.
He's an NFL reporter. And so, all right, here's what he writes. And quote, the Eagles running game looked good on the first day of joint practice with the New England Patriots, but fell off on the second day. I spoke with a source on the Patriots staff who spoke on condition of anonymity because they don't have permission from the team to comment publicly. That source said that Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' passing game struggled in the joint sessions. Hurts either was late, didn't see open targets, or threw interceptions in the middle of the field. This could become an issue because the Eagles knew blah, blah, blah. Hurts will be asked to attack the field, the middle of the field, off of play action more than he ever in his career. It seems as if Saquon Barkley and the Eagles' offensive line might have to carry this offense early in the season.
I hate to out a source, but I know who the source is.
Let me guess where you're going.
It was A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown is the source for the article.
That would be funny, but yeah.
You know? Look, whatever. You know, I mean, here's the thing. He's saying that that's fine. We had Eagles reporters on watching. You know, I don't know. You know, like that's his opinion. That's the Patriots' opinion.
So here's my thoughts on it as someone that watched.
Because you were there.
Yeah, someone that watched the practice. Both practices. So there's no question the Eagles passing game was bad for 2 days. Like, they had moments, they had drives, but like on a whole, I mean, he threw 5 interceptions in 2 practices. So like the passing game was not good. The running game was good. And I know everyone will believe the part about the running game being good, but then the passing game being bad will be dismissed. But like, so here's why I think this is an interesting opinion. I hesitate to say like important opinion, but here's why I think it's an interesting perspective. When we get to watch practice, we don't get to see replays. We don't get to like slow it down and look at like who was open, should the ball have came out, like all those things. So when I'm watching the practice and the ball is thrown to Dontavian Wicks and it pops off of his hands, like for me, and I think it's a fair opinion, it's like, well, that should have been a catch. That's not on Jalen Hurts. When you get to rewatch the tape, you can look and go, oh, well, this ball came out late. Or if Jalen scrambles and like, you know, doesn't throw an interception, but he ends up running, I'm looking at that and going, all right, nope, you know, nobody was open, maybe, like he ran. People that get to watch the tape get to slow it down and say, actually, this person was open. So the person on the Patriots staff has this tape, obviously, because they are watching the defensive tape. So the reason I think this is concerning is because we've talked about this a lot throughout practice. The passing game hasn't been good in training camp. Jalen has 14 touchdowns. He has 11 interceptions, which whatever you want to think about like interceptions in training camp, that's a lot of interceptions. It's a lot more than he normally throws, right? So I'm watching practice, and I think most beat writers would agree with this, and I actually don't think Jalen has been that bad. But the problem is I don't get to rewatch the tape. And so it really does teeter between like, hey, this is the result of the receivers. This is the result of a new offense, blah, blah, blah. Too quickly could go to the other side, because I think it's like right in the middle, like Jalen's not running this offense well. Like that, it could definitely be that. And so when somebody who has gotten to watch the tape and can break it down says he's seeing Jalen late over the middle, missing throws, like those things, like that's all the biggest fears come to life. Now again, it's just one person's opinion, blah, 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 blah. But when the passing game hasn't been good, I don't think it's Jalen, but hearing somebody that got to really break the film down say it's Jalen is, to me, concerning.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, that makes sense. I think it's hard to first of all, it's not an Eagles person breaking it down. It's a Patriots person.
That makes
person.
It even more noteworthy.
Does it, though?
Yeah, because they're watching this just like objective.
But he doesn't know if the receivers ran the right routes. He doesn't know if the receivers are in
right,
the places.
Right, but he can watch it and say.
But he doesn't know if the receiver's in the spot he's supposed to be in when the balls get. Like, there's, you know, I mean, he can make educated assumptions
right.
about it, but he doesn't know specifically.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, so that like that's part of it. I just think the bigger thing is, I think it's all of them. Like, this is a brand new offense.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how many times I can keep saying, I expect the offense to struggle. I've expected it to struggle all training camp. I've said that from the jump. Like, I've said they have to run the ball well early. So, like, you can look at it as concerning, or you can look at it as expected. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at no point through this training camp have I deviated from, I think it's going to take a while for them to get this passing thing going. It's guys, new receivers with a quarterback they've never worked with, running a whole new offense that is all based on timing and on being in the right place at the right time and at the ball meeting the player and stuff. So, like, you can look at that as concerning. I look at that as exactly what I expect. Like, I do not expect them to throw the ball well until like week 9 or week 10 or whatever, you know?
Well, okay, so a bunch of things off that.
Week
one,
7. Like, I think, who knows, like, you know?
I think that it is fair to expect them to have time to. It is fair to expect them not come out the gate firing all cylinders, right? Definitely. In terms of the timeline there, I mean, if they're not throwing it well until week 10 or 11, like, they're probably not winning.
I'm not saying well. I think it's going to improve over time. I don't think they're going to be good at it until later in the season.
Yeah, but I guess my thing is,
but
like,
that's what expected. That could be a problem. I said this last year when they said they were doing this. Like, this is like, nothing has changed for me. I think people might have unrealistic expectations then. But I have said from even last year when Sean Manning came in, where I'm like, this is going to take a while. Like, I said to you, this might not work as a passing offense this year even.
So,
but if there is progress and if Jalen is getting it and getting better as the season goes on, that's going to be enough for me. You know what I'm saying?
So I think if they end the year and like,
I think in week six, they'll be better than they were in week one. And I think in week 10, they'll be better than they were in week six. You know what I'm trying to say?
Hopefully.
That's what you hope for. Yeah. Exactly. Of course.
I mean,
it might not work. I'm just saying, as someone who thinks it will work, that's the timeline I've always thought.
Yeah. So, like, if by week 17, or, like, you know, the playoff games, assuming they make the playoffs, like, if Mekhi looks awesome, Jalen's throwing him the ball in stride, like, things are working, then, yeah, I think you feel good about that. The hope is, though, that they're not, like, 9-8 by the time that happens, and that they're not, like, on the road for the playoffs. And
that's why the running game has to be good.
Yeah, but I think they will run the ball well. The tough thing about that, though, is it's going to be harder to run the ball well. Like, I remember last year at the beginning of the season, offensive linemen talking about them basically getting, like, goal line defense at midfield because teams were just completely committed to stopping the run, right? And they weren't able to run the ball well last year. And I think there were a number of different reasons for that, right? A, they were running a different offensive running scheme. B, the players were tired coming off the Super Bowl. Like, all those things.
And injured in some
100%,
cases and all
that. Like, that could 100% be it. But it just, common sense, like, it's going to be harder to run the ball if Washington's a bad example, and the Titans aren't good. So, like, they could build momentum and go from there. But if teams come in, like, focused on stopping the running game, it's going to be harder to run the ball.
Of course, sure.
So when I hear...
But I just think that's the situation they're in. Like, they're changing a whole new offense with new players. Like, I never expected this to work quickly. But like, I think a lot of people, I guess some people do.
Well, I just think then we shouldn't expect them to win, like, 12 games.
But again, we can expect the running game... Just because teams are keying in the running game, teams were keying in the running game in 2024, too, and they ran all over
for
people.
Sure.
Like that, you know, all season long, people were like, wow, this is all they do is run the football. Let's key on it.
Yeah.
And they still ran on people. I think that's what they have
to
do.
So they could. They could.
Yeah, I think
do
that's
it.
What they have to do. The point is, I do not think the passing game is going to be good to start the year. I think the running game is. That's why I think they're going to be good. But absolutely, of course, it could not work, and then they're not going to be as good. But my expectation is that they're going to run the ball well.
I think that we're all just guessing at this point, right? Like, what it'll be.
It's all opinion.
If Jalen will approve, if Jalen can do it, like, all these things, right? And, again, I think Jalen has had a decent camp. I think he's been better than the numbers. And I think Jalen will work to improve on it. But there's also a world where Jalen, like, some people just can't do things, right?
Of course.
Like,
of course. We get that. Yeah,
so I think when, you know, if they were talking about, like, I don't know. I can't think of a great example off the top of my head. Like, I don't know. Devontae Smith was dropping a lot of passes. I would be like, all right, not really concerned about that. Devontae's never had issues dropping passes, like, blah, 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 blah. But when they're saying the things Jalen is struggling on are things he has traditionally struggled on and hasn't been good at, then there is more of a feeling of like, and I don't know why I always think of this example because I think it's an extreme one because I don't think they're the same person, blah, 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 blah. But like, you know, it's like hearing in Sixers training camp, like, Ben Simmons isn't making his threes. You know, like, it's a little like we're expecting somebody who has never done this to then do it at a high level. And so when the reports came out, when this report comes out that, like, what this person is seeing is Jalen struggling, and I know the passing game hasn't been good, the concern is, like, maybe he can't do it. I don't know. I would guess he can. I would bet on Jalen, all those things. But Maybe he can't. I don't know.
I get your point. And maybe he can't. We get that. But my point is that I don't think we can make a judgment on it for a while. That's my point is that, again, like, they're asking him to do things that he's never really done a lot. Like, he's done a little bit, but they're asking him to change the way he plays a bit. I believe that no one's going to work harder at it than Jalen. I believe that he has the physical abilities to do it. I believe that he's going to do it. Of course it might not work. But my point is, whether it works or not, it's not going to work right away. Like, it's just not. Like, there's no way he's going to step in and this is going to be, like, perfect. So, like,
well, especially with the personnel.
That's the point. Yes, if he had the exact same guys and the chemistry and somebody doesn't. Like, I've always, that's my whole point I've been saying this whole time. Is, like, we don't know and we're not going to know right away. We can't. And, look, again, we don't know, too, in that how it's going to look in actual games at actual speed and all that.
Game planning,
but my
all that.
Biggest thing, and I've tried to say this throughout, is, like, and I've said this to you many times, like, I don't expect it to look good yet. I just don't. And that might be a problem. They might not be able to run the ball, and then it's not a good year. But I think they're going to be able to run the ball, and they're going to have time to get the passing game going. But I don't expect the passing game to look good for a while. Like, I just don't.
Man, it would just, for me, and I know I'm probably on an island with this, but it would just be so disappointing if a season is thrown away or a season is not as good as it could be because they're insistent on running this offense.
But if it's for the future, then it's worthwhile. Like,
but like, the NFL, you know, it's not like there's like a 5-year plan here. I mean, it's year by year, and like they have the talent right now. Now, at receiver, they might not. Like, they, with AJ not here anymore, they might not have the talent at receiver. And frankly, I think the tight end room was not really built the way Howie probably projected it to be built. And I don't think outside of Goddard, like, they really have anything there. So there is that issue. But yeah, I mean, it would just be disappointing to me if this season is 9-8 because we watch them like be unable to pass the ball until the end. But the other takeaway from this, and I was thinking about this morning at the gym, no big deal to me, is like, I think it's a good year to have Nick Sirianni as your head coach because Nick is very good at making in-season adjustments. Nick is very good at finessing out wins. Nick knows the personnel. Nick knows Jalen's strengths and weaknesses. Him and Jalen have a good relationship. And there could be tense discussions if this isn't working out. Like if they decide like the under center passing game isn't working, it's going to be really difficult to figure out the solution to that. But I think like if they were trying a brand new head coach, you would have no idea if that person is good at in-season adjustments. You would have no idea, like, any of those things. And I think Nick is good at those things.
Well, I think it's always a good season to have Nick Sirianni as your
head coach. Yeah, agreed. But I think in a year where a lot of people are going to be focusing on Mannion, and it's going to be like, oh, how can you let this guy get out of the building? But, like, I think Nick is a very good stewardess to be looking over this offense.
I agree. I think Nick's always a good steward, I would say, to look over it. But, look, my main thing
now,
is...
isn't the saying stewardess? Or
no,
wrong?
It's steward. It's,
so is
stewardess
it
is female.
No, I know, but is it a saying
it's
where...
It's a steward of a franchise, you would say.
Okay, yeah, okay.
You would say steward, for sure. Yeah, like my main thing that I'm just trying to convey, and I get your point. I think it's important to change the offense. I think it was way too simple. We could disagree on that.
Right.
We have. But so I'm fine with them changing it over. I'm fine with them committing to changing it over. I want them to die with the bad offense rather than changing it.
Oh, man, I'm so on the opposite side of that.
I know. I'm sure we'll battle about it if it happens. But my main thing is, like, give it at least a month before you freak out about it is my thing. And I would give longer, but I know people won't.
Yeah, well,
but
like, they themselves didn't give it longer than a month in 2024.
They have to give it a month at least.
Yeah. Well, in 2024, they didn't.
But they weren't doing a new offense. You know, a brand.
Well, they were trying. Yeah, they were trying to do more
pre-snap. Not like this where it's they've told everyone, hey, we're doing a new offense. There's a new thing. We're bringing a new guy who runs a complete. Like, they have committed to this publicly in a way they didn't commit to
that. I'm a little surprised in retrospect they did that. Like,
again, I think it's because they're committed. Because they're so committed. That's what I think. Yeah. All right. I want to get to practice yesterday in a sec, but we told you, coming up this Saturday, Ashley in Burlington, 1-3, we're going to be doing our show there. And if you're a Birds fan, you know nothing beats getting ready for football season, except for one thing, Elliot. A great deal. Getting a great deal is the freaking best. And this Saturday, you can join us at the Ashley in Burlington, New Jersey from 1-3. For a live in-store broadcast of our Go Bird Show, Elliot Parks.
And I'm very excited to do it. It's going to be awesome to try out the furniture, see all the people. But the reason we're there is because Ashley's Labor Day sale is on. And as normal, they're going big, we're going big, everybody's going big. Ashley's Labor Day doorbusters start at just $3.99 plus. Shop now and pay later with Ashley's no interest financing and free delivery and setup.
That's not all, Elliot. We got more for you because Ashley's throwing in a free smart TV up to 75 inches. Yes, free. As you know, Elliot, free is for me. Big fan of free. That's so cool. Plus, huge Labor Day deals, free delivery, and of course, no interest financing. And a free TV, by the way.
So now I know why Kristen is offering to pick me up from Ashley. This is now making sense as to why there was that offer made. More savings, more value, more reasons to shop at Ashley. So come see the show live, check out the latest furniture and mattresses, and take advantage of these incredible holiday savings today and a free TV.
And don't miss the live Go Bird Show this Saturday and hurry in for Ashley's Labor Day sale. Ashley, it's the official furniture and mattress sponsor of the Go Bird Podcast.
If I'm understanding this correctly, you buy a piece of furniture and you get a free TV. Is that how that works?
I think it's something like that.
Because we are in the market for a couch and
hey
a
now.
TV. Not going to lie.
I mean, this is
working
best.
Out well.
We're
I'm going to have to text Chris.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape. We're crunching the numbers to bring you Sleepers, Bust weekly start-sit advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Practice yesterday, Mekhi Lemon back in the fold.
Yes. So Mekhi was back. And I thought there was like some positives and some negatives. So he had two targets. He probably took, I would guess, 15 reps with the first team. The first target he had, I thought was a good example of like timing being off. It hit his hands. There was some discrepancy among the beat writers if it was a drop or not. I thought it wasn't a drop because the ball was thrown a little too far ahead. He had to fully stretch to catch it. I think it would have been a nice catch. Now it's a catch you want him to make. He's a first round pick, like, you know, all those things. But I didn't think it was a drop. I thought it was more example of the timing being off. The second pass he got was a bubble screen where, you know, I think you saw how they're going to have to use him early on. I don't think he has a target in this offense.
Well, he hasn't been playing
much. Like,
much.
Mandatory minicamp, OTAs, the five practices he's been in. I don't think he has. He has one target deep. He has one target deep that was either overthrown or he didn't get there in time. But the majority of the stuff he's getting is short.
Which way I would expect.
Well, yeah.
Except, that's the type of player he is. He doesn't have a lot of, like, if you watch his highlight films, there are not many run deep catches.
So I saw some highlights yesterday where, like, he was able to win some go routes down the field.
Yeah,
it's just
a few.
To me,
it's college. But the point is, the vast majority of his plays are, you know, over the middle or the bubble screens or, like, that kind of stuff.
So the second target he got was a bubble screen where they had good blocking set up. And it looked like in a game he might have had a decent gain on it. But what I thought was interesting, and did you hear his interview after?
No.
Okay. So he said, he was asked why, like, do you think this is going to be an issue throughout the season? Which, good question. I also think it's like, how could he know? Like, you don't know if it's going to be, but this is why you asked the question, because he said he feels like he has a better read on how to be more of a professional off the field now. And I think, like, maybe, and
did
this
he
is
get
just
hurt
completely,
off the field, are you guessing?
No. My guess is, and this is just guessing, is maybe his routine to get ready, his hydration.
Wasn't good enough.
Like, you know, he's a rookie. He's learning how to do this. So, like, maybe he's not hydrating enough. Maybe he's not stretching enough. Maybe he's eating foods the night before that, you know.
Sure.
I don't know what food it would be, but, like, it's dehydrating him, right? So I think that's what he meant in terms of, like, he has a better system in place now. And so while, look, I think you should definitely be worried about the hamstring. Who knows? He's injured it twice in 4 months.
You should
months.
Always be worried
it's the
about
same
hamstrings,
one.
Yeah.
Like, but if they actually feel like, hey, this happened because of this, and we actually have a solution to that, like, hey, do this stretch more. Right? Like, there is, I think, a little more optimism that he'll be able to stay healthy. But, yeah, I mean, to me right now, he feels like a gadget receiver on how they're going to use him. So I think week one, you're going to see jet sweeps. You're going to see bubble screens. You're going to see him in motion going back and forth. Now, the good news is, Washington probably expects that. So maybe there is opportunities to send him deep where Washington is really keying in on him and coming down hard on the field when they think he's going to get the ball. But I think that's how they're going to have to use him early on, because they're just not getting the reps together.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Again, we've known for a long time that him missing this time, it's going to be a slow start for him. I should be shocked if it isn't. If it isn't, that's great. But
a little off topic, but I keep thinking this as you're talking. Like, we're both going to make our win projections before the season. And obviously we can change them a billion times between now and then. But to me, it feels like you are not expecting a big season. Am I wrong about that?
So we'll make our official, like, I'm at like 11 wins right now.
Okay.
So, like, I'm expecting, I think they'll win the division.
All right.
I'm expecting like a playoff win.
All right.
You know, so I'm not expecting a Super Bowl or anything like that, but I think they're going to win a playoff game.
Now, what if throughout the year, what if they start slow? They don't end up sticking with the offense and that. So you're very much like, you want to see progress on the offense.
I can't make it. I don't know. I have to see how I feel with how the team looks on. There are too many factors with that. Yeah. Like, you know, how good is the rest of the league this year? How much of a chance do they really have? All those type of things. But I think they're going to be good. I think the offense is going to ultimately work. So, like, if it doesn't, you know, I'll admit I'm wrong. But I think it's going to work.
It's just a little surprising, not you specifically, but it does sense a good portion of the fan base is very tied into this season on the offense. Like that is where the emotion lies with this team, is the offense going
Well, I think it's
because
everyone just trusts that the defense is going to be good.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's just an interesting juxtaposition between the last few years, grinding out ugly wins and, like, a win's a win, to now it's like they actually care more about the offensive
scheme. Well, I don't. I am a win-a-win. I will always be a win-a-win.
You sound like an offensive scheme guy.
No, I'm saying I want the scheme to work and stuff. But I'm saying in the moment, like, I don't care if they win games. They can win every game 3-0. If they win the Super Bowl, I don't care. Like, zero. Okay. Like, I don't care. I'm ecstatic that they won every game. You know what I mean? Mm. That's where I come down. But again, I think they need the offense to work to win games. They're not going to win every game 3-0, obviously.
Right.
But, like, yes.
What if they won every game 3-0 and then they lost the playoff game 3-0?
I'd be bummed.
Be bummed, yeah.
I'd be bummed. Yeah. But again, I'm not going to – and I probably wouldn't be, like, as confident as I would be on a 17-0 team if they went 3-0 heading in the playoffs. But my point is like, I'm not going to be sitting there complaining about ugly wins. Like, I'm going to be happy to win football games. You know what I mean?
So that's where I'm at. Like, I am fine if, like, they just win how they did last year.
Me too.
Not as critical. But, like, I do think last year, too, because this year, like, they should be healthier, blah, 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 all those things.
Not coming off the Super Bowl, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I think Saquon's going to be huge here. I really do.
I'm feeling better about it than I used to.
That is my, like, number one thing I'm feeling right now.
I think the running game has looked really good.
I don't think we're talking nearly enough about, like, it's so many concerns about the offense and everyone's the passing. Like, Saquon was the best player on the planet 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he carried the ball a billion times and had a down year after that, as many people thought he would.
And then carried the ball a billion times last year. I mean, he carried it quite a bit last
year. But it wasn't close to the same workload. He also wasn't playing deep into February. His season was done in the beginning of January. You know, like, he had a month plus extra time off. Not to mention, they weren't as high leverage carries. They were as intense, the whole thing. But, I think he's going to be awesome this year. I'm really in on a big year.
They are really planning on that being the case.
Well, obviously, that's how the team's built.
And an interesting decision left to make is, if the passing game is not working well from under center, like, do you do shotgun? And then, how is the team
going to
feel?
I don't think they're going to. They are committed to this offense. They are. Like, Sean Mannion said it.
Like, Nick's a win the game guy.
I know it is.
And Jalen's a win the game guy.
I know.
You know, so I don't disagree with you, and I think, tough
there's
look.
There's obvious extenuating circumstances. If the offense, if they're, like, 5-2 and the offense is the worst thing we've ever seen and they can't move the ball and they've gotten lucky and they get, like,
or what if they're 1-2?
Well, that's a different, they're not going to do it that early. There's 0% chance.
You don't
think
so?
None. Honestly, okay. Zero. Less than zero.
All right.
They could be 0-4 and they're not changing the
I think
offense.
They could go shotgun week one if it made
it
to
win
the
chance.
Game.
I'll bet you during the week they'll
practice it and everything.
Like, they might have some shotgun plays because it's...
Yeah, well, yeah.
They will, but they're not going to abandon the offense.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to agree with you.
I feel so confident. I would bet my house that they're not
going to... I just think at the end of the day, Jeffrey Lurie and Nick and Howie want to win games.
They want this offense.
I think they will. That will be an off-season problem if this offense. They are not going to sync with the offense.
I think they will. But again, I don't think it's going to matter.
We're just projecting here.
But I think they would sync with the offense. I think they are fully committed to this offense.
I think they're fully committed until they're 1-2.
The good news is I think they're going to give it half a season no matter what.
I think they will start 2-0.
Yeah,
like, I think they'll beat Washington
and
Tennessee.
They're going to give it half a season no matter what. I bet everything.
Chicago be an interesting one.
Yeah, they're not changing it that early. Just not. They're not. They publicly said too much. They've been too, like, again, if they had not come out and been like, this is what we're doing. We're bringing in Sean Mann. He's running the offense. Like, it's going to be this new thing. This is what we're doing. Like, this is it. Like, I just, like, they would look so foolish if they changed their mind.
So, I don't disagree, but I think they would rather look foolish at 4-2 than foolish at 2-4.
I don't think there's any chance that early. Like, again, maybe 10 weeks into the season, there's no chance that quickly.
All right.
Yeah, I'll bet you whatever you want.
Well, but to your point, it's also hard to tell. Like, you know, it's not like they submit before the game, this is what offense we're running.
Right,
like, it'll be
they're not under center a lot.
That'll be the thing. It'll be how much are they under center? How much is it under center on passing plays? Like, I think that'll be... Now, the issue is, and this is what one thing they'll have to consider, they weren't even that good passing it out of shotgun. So it's not like
reverting to something.
It's more, I think, a matter of like where the ball is being thrown. Are they going back to hitch routes? Is everything on the sideline? Mm-hmm. Is a lot of the throws Wicks and Devontae deep? Right. Like, that to me will be reverting.
I agree. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think
Where I do agree with you on is, I think they are going to do everything in their human power possible to stick to running it from under center.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I agree with you on that, for sure. But it's a question of...
Well, if you're going to run under center, you're passing from under center, too. You're not just...
Last year, and I
Well, that was the problem last year. Everyone knew what they were calling. It's like, run, pass,
But they showed
it.
They were willing to do it. That's the point I'm making.
I think they don't want the defense to know.
Agreed. I don't think they want to, 100%. Yes. I think they will try to stick with it, but... And this is why I think Nick's a good coach for this year. Like, Nick will do what it takes to win. Like, he is the one in control on Sunday. Like, in between the games, Lurie and Howie can get on him. But, like, on Sunday, he's the one in control. And I am very positive he will, like, he will do what it takes to win.
We'll see. I think he's going to do what it takes to win, but not at the expense of... I don't think he has the juice even to change the offense. Like, I think
he'll get, like, fired before.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
But I think he would go down trying to...
I don't think they're going to change the offense.
Wait, you think they're going to fire him if he's 5-2?
No, I just don't think they're going to change the offense. Like, I think they're not changing it.
Yeah.
I feel incredible. I think there is an edict from the top, like, we're sinking or swimming.
Yes. I agree. That's the plan going in.
And I don't think the plan's going to change as quickly as you do. That's
well, what's the expression? Everyone's got a plan
until they get punched in the mouth. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
But again, I'm telling you, I think they're more committed to this plan than you do, is the point. All right. Well, let's get more from practice in a sec, Elliot. But training camp, the practice is heating up, almost over. It is hot. But what about defending your actual home from all the brutal humidity this August? Old leaky builder grade windows are letting that outside heat rush in, forcing your AC to work double shifts and driving your energy costs way up.
Well, and pretty soon, it'll be keeping the hot air inside.
That's right.
So
that's right.
While it is seasonal, you always want to keep the air that you're paying for inside your house. But right now, it's a total blowout on defense. Let's hope that's not the case.
Oh, we can't afford that.
Yes. And this is why you need to call the pros at Window Nation. Ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window insulation companies, Window Nation builds custom windows that shut heat waves down completely.
And we like winners. Like, our quarterback is a winner, and Window Nation's August game plan is a winner. Throughout the month, you can get 50% off all window styles, plus, get this, zero down payment, no payments or interest for 2 full years. It's an unbelievable deal. You can choose from over 1,500 window styles and colors, all custom made for you.
Plus, Window Nation's installation crews finish the entire job in just one day or less, backed by a lifetime warranty. And since replacement windows retain 80% of their value, it's a high value investment. So go online right now and schedule your fast, free consultation at windownation.com.
All right, what else from practice? Devontae was back. Not much there.
Devontae was back. Yeah, I mean, him and Mekhi were back. Didn't really result in a great day on offense, but it's only one practice. I'm excited tonight at the Link, if you're listening to this
Link.
Fans getting to see Mekhi, Lemon, and Devontae out there, so that'll be good. Eli Stowers.
Hamstring injury, right?
Eli Stowers hamstring injury, not ideal.
Just the perfect ending to his
really
camp.
Feels like he needs... Like, I think he could benefit from, like, stepping away from
Phantom IR. Not even Phantom. Just put him on, you know.
Now, the tough thing is, I think you could put him on IR and be like, well, we're going to designate him to come back and then just hope everyone forgets,
right.
You know? And, like, but I also think you want him practicing. That's a tough thing, too.
True.
Like, as much as the Phantom IR sounds good in theory, like, these guys can't practice football while they're on it. And so, you know, you could really kind of stun his development that way. So, yeah, Eli Stowers with the hamstring, no good.
All right, anything else from practice?
I mean, it wasn't a great day. It wasn't a great day on offense, I should say. Moro Ojomo had a good practice. So, it's crazy. There's only two more.
It's crazy, man. You doing okay with it?
Yeah, it'll be fun to, you know, get the road
to the actual
going.
Games. You know,
I mean, training camp's the best time.
It is crazy how quick it got. Like, every year the season ends and it's like, oh, off season. And it's like, oh, football's back.
Well, and also, like, now the joint practice is getting the respect it deserves.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. I sent this to you.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Ryan Paganetti.
Very interesting study.
He's a good follow.
He's an amazing follow.
Yeah.
He is, like, every year I think there's one or two media members that,
like,
and he's having his moment.
He's doing great,
Very smart work for the Eagles. He did a study where it shows that the teams that win joint practices exceed their expected win-loss value, and the teams that don't win joint practice underperform.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers. and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what to say. It's just science.
I got nothing to say.
Like,
I don't know what to say.
It's almost like practicing good.
What are the scores?
It's almost like practicing good math.
What are the final scores for these games?
Well, I can make up scores if people want. But the study shows.
Oh, the wins and losses.
Now, here's a mistake. Here's a mistake.
Are these others? I thought you were the only win-loss person.
Well, this is where his mistake was. Yeah, so he had the Patriots winning the joint practice with the Eagles. Now, they were 1-1, and I do think day one was probably I think they played even mostly, but he had the Patriots winning the joint practice in his study. So does that mean the Eagles underperform? I guess we'll see. It depends. Like, they didn't go 2-0, so I can't sit here and be like they won the joint practice, but thought it was super interesting.
No, it's an interesting
idea.
And
you know what else he said, actually? Yeah. He said the joint practice in 2024 was a time where they were like, okay, we're going to be good. Like, and he was with the team.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he remembers 2017 Carson, which is obviously the gold standard of training camp.
Sure.
Besides, arguably, Jalen, you could say 20 franchise record 20, and all that, 2024. But, like, someone that worked on a team that's in the analytical department. It's good.
I'm happy for
you. Now, I don't think anybody listening to this follows another team.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
But at this point, if you're following a team where your beat writer is not saying who won or lost practice, like, you're getting a disservice.
Mm.
The Eagles fans are lucky to have
someone
that is willing to do that.
That's true.
And other reporters do it, too.
Someone who's not just willing to do it, someone who created it.
Invented it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, training camp stats and now this. I mean, seriously.
Trailblazer, right?
I'll stop.
Trailblazer.
Is there anyone else that's come up with two things that's around? Like, I'm sure there is, but I can't think of it. So I'm happy this study was done. This is what's good about science. Everyone just takes something and builds upon it.
You got anything else for
good
today?
To be part of the community.
Okay. Do we have anything else for today?
I think that's good.
Okay. Let's get the final thoughts. I am really happy for you.
I mean, it's just
another
win for your boy. Yes. And that no one will give me credit for. But, all right. So, speaking of science,
that's an uh-oh right there.
Yeah. Like, I know this will, like, teeter, like, whatever. I'm not being political or anything. But I was thinking,
You thinking about not saying it now? I love when you're like, should I do this?
All right. I'll say it.
Okay.
If everyone can, to quote AOC,
just
no one be weird.
Chill out.
Right.
All right. Chill out.
I do wonder if we'll reach a point, and this would be unfortunate, as someone that loves reading history books and watching documentaries, if where the only thing we can agree on as society in school will be like math.
I get your
point. And the definition of words. Like, even I think right now, like, people are saying, like, we're disagreeing on science. Mm-hmm. We're disagreeing on history.
Yeah.
And, like, now maybe that's how it was growing up. I don't think it was to this extreme. But, like, maybe that's how it was. And ultimately, society decides on a set of facts and that's what they teach. But it'll be interesting to see. And it feels like now more than ever, in, like, 50 years, what do textbooks say?
Well, the question is,
how do they teach things?
There's always been a standardization with
this
stuff.
And it feels like now there's
the question
less of
that. Will there be, there are schools that teach, you know, religion as history and things like that. There's all kinds of different, like,
and I think math in the definition of words, even the definition of words, I think you could.
Yeah, it could change. I mean, it has over time
changed.
I'm saying
people,
I mean, words change, things change.
Math is something where, like, we can all agree.
I think we can all agree on math,
right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I think it's a fascinating point. 9 divided by 3, right?
I think there are certain sections of science that are irrefutable to a point at this point where we've all we've all kind of agreed that this is how a light bulb
biology
or whatever it
like
is,
how the body works,
sure,
and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Yes, yeah, like things that we really know at this point. But I think it's fascinating, and I think that it is part of a larger issue of people being rewarded or like raised up for not believing in things, and the whole idea of like, well, I don't believe that, like that.
There's, well, I feel like it's more acceptable than it used to be.
Yes, exactly.
Where it's just like, I just don't
It's more acceptable
that.
To be like, well, I don't believe in that, but it's true. It's been right. proven true, factually true. Well, I don't care. And it's like, people could say that now. It's like, yeah, he's right. But why should you believe it? It's because it's true. Like, I get when you don't, like, there are things where you could say, like, all right, things, some things in science have changed. We thought this was the truth, and then it's not.
And some
like,
things are some things subjective. Are just,
I almost cursed. Bleeping true. Okay, right. Yeah. So, no, Ali, I think it's, I don't know if it's, like, specific to that, specifically aggressively like just math or whatever, but I think that what you're hitting on is absolutely true and absolutely something
like,
that is to be
textbooks
to
look
be
like
concerned
in 50
about
years. Yeah,
well, you know, I've done it as a final thought before, but something that always fascinates me is the idea of the victors writing the history, the idea that like we don't really know what happened in the past. We weren't there for it. We're relying on the people who told the history, and the people who get to tell history are the people who survived, the winners, you know? So it's like, and is there a time in history where the past got completely wiped out and someone else rewrote it? I mean, like I don't think that happened. We don't know these things. I think that stuff is so fascinating. And to your point, it is something to be concerned about. Yeah.
So I was thinking about it over the weekend.
No, it's really good. All right. I'm going to save my, because I want Tucker to be here for my Any Given Sunday final thoughts.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
he's a part of it. Like, there is a Tucker section.
When you guys, like, watched
that.
It at the same time.
Yes. There is
or
a Tucker section of that because he said something in the text thread that I responded to.
Yeah.
So I'll do another movie final thought, though. Don't worry. People who only tuned in this episode looking for my movie final thought, I will not disappoint you.
I also got to say, I have a movie thought related to something on the morning show.
Ooh, wow. I can always tell from your face that it's going to be something that's going
to
annoy me.
I just hate to not be on your side on
just
this
one. Just go ahead.
One.
Give it to me.
I just don't think A Never-Ending Story was a scene that wasn't on the planet.
Never-Ending Story didn't get brought up.
No, I'm sorry. Princess Bride. My bad.
Of course it wasn't on the planet. It is in a mythical place. It's called Florin.
But it's based... First and foremost, agreed.
For our side topic...
Yeah, why don't you give
it
the
works
back.
For the side topic. Our point was, like, not in a known place on Earth. Like, the point being, like... That, you know, for... Like, the toughest ones are, like, Gotham. But Gotham is New York. It's said to be New York. Florum... And the like, there is a forest called the Forest of Discontent where huge rats come up and fire shoots out of the ground and stuff. That's not Earth. That's not a real thing.
But it is on Earth.
It's not, though. It's not on Earth.
So what
it's
planet
in a mythical
is it on?
King. It's never talked about the planet. You just know it's a mythical place called Florida.
Isn't it?
You have no idea. You
isn't
don't
it in,
know.
Isn't it next to Sweden? Isn't that what I heard Rhea say? Is that wrong?
No.
Okay,
like,
that's
it's
wrong.
It's meant
okay.
to be like, it's supposed to like... potentially like be like a stand-in for
those
places.
And look, I love The Princess Bride. I'm with you on this. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite expressions is, of course, now I can't think of it, of course. Oh, as you wish. Like, I love sending that
as
gift.
You wish.
Like, right?
Great. Yeah.
As
again,
you are a movie expert,
but
it was
again,
just
this is,
felt
I'm talking
like
more
a,
for the point of the side topic. Like, it was the idea of the side topic was something that's not in New York or this or that, like a place that we know. So that's why Gotham was like a tough one, but like I would have accepted Gotham as not on Earth.
So Gotham seems similar to your
Well, Gotham is a more likely on Earth than mine is because it is
it's
New
clearly,
York. We know it's New York.
But
they show
isn't it
buildings
Chicago
that
in the one Batman movie? Or am
just
I wrong
the,
about
just
that?
The,
just
no,
the opening
Pittsburgh.
Scene.
Well, no, Chicago.
No, Chicago
too.
In the
yes,
Heath Ledger.
Yes,
one.
Yes, it is in Dark Knight. Yes, you're right. But it's theoretically supposed to be New York in the comics and stuff like that. Again, I think the point of it was the side topic, I think it absolutely
I mean,
worked.
Look,
if you,
you
want
love to push
it,
the boundaries of the side topic, which I can appreciate.
Well, I also think for side topics, we're trying to get as many answers on
agreed.
There as possible. So,
just as a Princess Bride guy,
looking to be pedantic, all right?
I just think, you know.
Very pedantic of you right now.
It's, you should learn more about movies is what I'm
yes,
saying.
Yes, okay, yes. Yeah. It is a place called Florin. Find me Florin and then we'll talk. Find me Florin.
Agreed.
Find me the mythical kingdom of Florin.
I agree with the point it's not a real place.
It's not.
Obviously.
It's like obviously.
But it is on Earth.
Yeah, it's obviously not. I mean, there's freaking magic in them. The guy is brought back to life from true love. Like, what are we talking about?
So would
about
you here? Say Spider-Man is on Earth?
Well, Spider-Man's actually technically in New York. They actually say it's New York and Spider-Man.
Right.
Like,
okay,
they admit that he lives in New York.
Superman on Earth
is
partially.
Is Metropolis. I said Superman when he goes to Jor-El or whatever the planet is. Anyway. Off track.
Just, I heard it when I was listening this morning and wanted to...
Don't come at me with movies.
Talk to you about it on the pod.
Don't come
I decided
into my
to
kitchen.
Wait. Yeah.
Don't come into my kitchen. And with pedantic stuff like that. Okay. I love the word pedantic.
It's a good
way.
Word.
I'm trying to use it more. Okay. Emily and I were watching Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Phenomenal
course,
movie.
As one does.
Watch Raiders a little earlier
is he
in
making
the year.
A new one?
No.
I thought I saw something where he is hinting at the possibility of another one.
I hope not. The last one was like fine, but yeah, you know, we're good.
I'm just surprised.
He's 80 years old.
But he,
like,
looks and good.
Dude,
and
Harrison Ford is crushing
still,
it. He's crushing it. He's 83.
Yeah.
He's crushing it.
But, does not look like it.
So I came up with the top five. I'm going to do top fives for final. I crushed it this week. I'm a final thoughts, by the way. I got an awesome music final thought. I have like four movie final thoughts, including my Any Given Sunday one. I have just a completely random one. I had one of my great weekends for final thoughts of all time. So it was exciting because I didn't have any. So it was good. Okay. Anyway, so I'm giving you my top five father-son combos in movies.
Love it.
In honor of Indy and Henry Sr.
In honor of Indiana Jones? That's like a
plot. And The Last Crusade. Have you not seen The Last Crusade?
Of course not. Yeah.
Like, it's with his dad. John Connery plays his dad, Henry Jones.
It's a good duo.
I know. It's a great one. All right. It's number three on my list. Okay. I'll go backwards. I have a few that didn't make it, but I'll throw them in there. Buddy the Elf and his dad. A great one. James Caan.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not an elf guy. But
which is so crazy.
I just not. Yeah, agreed.
Frank Abagnale and his dad. Catch Me If You Can is a good one. Now, they're real people. Kay. So I usually veer
agreed,
away from real people. Nemo and his dad. I'm not a big Finding Nemo guy, but that feels like a big one.
I thought it was his mom, but maybe I'm wrong.
His mom gets killed.
R.I.P.
Anyway, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Daniel Plainview and his kid, of course. There Will Be Blood. I know you're a big There Will Be Blood fan.
I don't think I've seen it.
Milkshakes.
Yeah.
All right. Jack and Danny Torrance, The Shining, of course. Danny has the shinin.
As many as would say.
So Jack, where is
these
he?
Are your non.
Here's Johnny.
These aren't even
these
included.
Just
made it. Just
what's
missed
it called?
Honorable mentions.
Yes, honorable mentions. Exactly. Okay. Number six, George and Marty McFly. They would have been in if George weren't the biggest loser character of all time. I mean, George is so lame. And the Crispin Glover performance
is
weird.
There's the obvious question of if he hooked up with his mom or not.
Right. Well, Marty part. Yeah.
Marty, yeah.
George, the dad. But yes. All right, number six. So I wanted this to be in my top five. This, if I were just doing... So I try to make it based on, like, iconic and cool. Like, it's obviously my opinion, but it's also fact, these lists. You know, like, this is the actual top five. It's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I want my number six to be in the five, I don't think they can pass the five that I have. But I think Furious and Trey from Boys in the Hood is one of the great father-son combos in the history of movies.
Haven't seen
Lawrence
it, but
Fishburne I... Lawrence lights out as Furious. You've never seen Boys in the Hood?
No, I have not.
It's a great movie, dude.
Agreed.
Have you heard
People
of Boys
say
in
it's
the
very
Hood?
Good. Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
All right, top five. Are you so excited?
All right, number four.
Number five.
Oh, that wasn't number five.
That's what I'm saying. Is
you got a lot of honorable
be,
mentions.
I
here.
Wanted it to be.
It's
I know because I'm trying.
Less...
I'm showing people how much I really care about this.
No, I think people believe you.
All right, here's my top five.
Yeah,
Apollo and Adonis Creed.
No brainer.
I mean, they have to be in there, right?
I think they have to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna like number four too. You might even say, "Why is that not higher?"
Okay.
Mufasa and Simba.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough to think of.
I mean, they
three
have to be in there,
that.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Number three, I have Indy and his father from Last
so
Crusade.
So I would say Mufasa and Simba ahead
you
of that.
You also have not seen.
No, agreed. But I mean, I think in terms of like more people,
it's more iconic. I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a combo of iconic and like.
Mufasa
is
also not really in it very much.
Like
that's a good point.
They're together like most of the movie. They have a lot of fun together.
Fair.
Anyway, number two, and there's a bit of a. A lot of people would put this number one. I have it number two. I'm going Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker number two.
Bolt. It's a good one.
It should be number one. I think they are the most iconic father and son.
A little similar. A little similar to Mufasa and Simba, where like Mufasa's not in a lot, but you also don't know Darth Vader's his dad for most of the movie. So that's
an
interesting
dynamic.
Well,
you don't know for the entire first movie.
But
I think the number one father son duo, and it's not surprising because it is my favorite movie of all time. But it's Vito and Michael Corleone, obviously. The Godfathers.
I
would even put Vito and Sonny high on the list. Okay?
Yeah. I will agree with you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I mean,
I feel really
again,
good about it.
Haven't seen it. But I'm sure it is certainly a classic movie.
You should say that.
Yeah, all right. It's done
I'm
well.
I'm going to go see another great movie, La La Land. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it on the next spot.
Are you bringing Zoe or?
No, she didn't want to go.
Just you?
Just me, buddy.
There you go.
They have solo
now
movies.
You've seen this movie.
Yes.
You're just going to see it in theaters.
I've never seen it on the big screen.
Okay, there you go.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. That's the one with
Emma Stone and Ryan
Gosling. It's a musical. Right?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we'll be back later in the week, react to everything going on, and react to the Meryl and Mike of it all.
Well, next time we talk, Elliot training camp will not be over, but there'll only be one more practice.
It'll be awesome. Can't wait. All right. Until then.
He's Adam James.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck. so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.